Welcome to Weekly Beats, the podcast in which two guys give you their perspective on the week in music. My name is Charlie.
My name is Mark.
And what a long, strange trip it has been. We are back from summer vacation. Went on a little bit longer than anticipated thanks to some technological problems and scheduling conflicts. But nonetheless, Mark and I are back together once again to bring to you, finally, a review of DJ Cozy's Knock Knock. We promised you this review like a month and a half ago. But here we are. We're also going to talk to you about the latest highest charting single on the Billboard Hot 100, which this week, or 6 weeks ago, belonged to Childish Gambino's This Is America. You better believe we're going to talk about that YouTube video in here as well, the music video, that is. You can bet your butts that we've been listening to a whole lot of other stuff. I don't know how much of that we'll get into this week, because that could be an entire episode on its own, and very well might be next week. We also talk to you about the other great stuff, maybe the most best albums of the year so far. Deserves a more formal conversation, but nonetheless, wow, Mark, here we are behind the microphones again. It feels like forever.
Yeah, I don't want to take the wind out from under your sails, but when we said we would come back on and do this, we said we would be honest, and I think the first step in being honest with each other, with patching things up, is letting the listener know why we really weren't able to record for 30 years.
Fair enough.
I think it's okay that I'll just say it. I'll say what happened. And we don't have to be embarrassed. We can just let it out. When I kissed your dad at dinner, it made you uncomfortable. It put a rift in our friendship, and it brought me and your father closer. And that's fine. Like, I think you've forgiven me.
Well, you know, it's startling when something like that happens, Mark. It's startling for a number of reasons, none the least of which suggests that I've never seen my father kiss another human being for as long as I've been alive. You know, not my mother, not my sister, not me. And to have the first one that I witnessed be you, a person not even of my own blood, is honestly a little disconcerting.
You're right.
I'm still working through my feelings there, Mark. I'll have you know.
Right, and right on the lips. Right, a big sloppy lip kiss.
We hadn't even finished the first course. We just got right over there and said, "You know what, Dad?" You called him Dad, which I thought was also kind of creepy. You said, "Dad, this is who I am."
What? Unzip my pants.
And then you kissed him right on the lips.
Yeah.
And made us all watch in horror as you did so.
Did you just refer to me as a watch in horror?
Yeah, you're a wanton whore. You belong in the whorehouse.
Well, listen, I can't apologize for true love. I do apologize for you using this sexist language against me. Me!
Well, who knew that my podcast partner would turn out to be the most sexist?
That's right, and that's the other thing that happened. I became a men's rights activist in the time since we last reported.
Yeah. Do you have that BDE, Mark?
I am filled. My blood surges with BDE. How about you?
Yeah. I just read a website about that today from Vox explaining it, because I didn't understand what it was. But now I know, so.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I think it's cool you read a website.
Yeah. Sometimes you've got to do that in our modern era. You just got to say, you know what, today, it feels good. It feels like a Thursday. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to read a website.
I had an instance of, well, this is not appropriately BDE themed, but I feel that it is tangentially BDE related from an establishment, like an establishment that has BDE.
Okay.
It's the strip club like, your dad works at.
Chili's. Oh, I thought you were going to say Chili's has good BDE.
No, terrible BDE. Chili's is, like, pathetic.
What restaurant has good BDE? Red Lobster?
Yes.
Olive Garden?
No.
Red Lobster has BDE?
I think these places you're naming are bumming me out.
What if I said something like Chipotle or Five Guys?
I think, like, yeah, those are fair examples. I think somewhere like Taco Bell, which serves true garbage to the masses, yeah, and like, Like,
and embraces
any,
it.
Yes. Any corporation that will film, like, a burger that's, like, sloppy and just, like, filled with chemicals, it's, like, quite literally collapsing in front of your eyes, and they film it like it's beautiful, that's a BDE move.
Yeah. So Taco Bell is on that list. Arby's?
Yeah, Arby's is pretty gross looking, I think.
Yeah. They got that announcer who's got that BDE.
Right.
You know that guy that says, "We have the meats"? He's got BDE. Yeah. You can feel it.
That guy's tremendous BDE.
Yeah.
I think we've proven that we've been keeping up with the times pretty well. The BDE segment.
Well, you know who else has BDE?
Who?
DJ Cozy. It's more like a cosmic BDE, though. It's not like a physical BDE.
Yeah, I don't know. I disagree. I think DJ Cozy has, like, pre-onset
BDE?
Prenatal BDE. He's got no D at all.
Yeah, he's at pre-fetus stage.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, here we are. Knock, knock. Mark, it was you about 2 years ago that said, this DJ Cozy, DJ Kicks album is pretty top-notch. This guy has William Shatner on here. What's not to love about this guy? And here we are 2 years later, his first album in quite some time, Knock, Knock, is here. And it is loaded with danceable disco grooves, some great house music inside of this thing, Mark. Of course, catchy samples. I gotta know what you're thinking about Knock Knock.
Looking through my journals from so long ago, it appears that I love this album. It looks like I really liked it.
Yeah. But it's hard to remember because it's been 3 years since we talked last, right?
Yeah. This is the one where it's only 7 songs and the first song is a testament about killing your spouse, right? That's DJ.
No. And you get points for the listeners for making that joke, but not from me because you sent that in a text to me about 3 weeks ago. We were trying to record this episode, so tough luck.
Oh my god, did I make the same joke? Didn't I?
You made the same joke twice, but it's okay. Our listeners hadn't heard it before, so I'm sure they're all laughing on the floor, rolling around as one does.
Yeah.
But not me, Mark. No points from me.
That's the kind of listeners we have, the kind of listeners who listen to podcasts stoned out of their gourds, rolling around on the ground. In public,
that's our
parks.
Target audience. Yeah. If they're not listening to us, then what are we doing?
That's the bumper sticker we give out at pod conventions.
Yeah, I love those. We've got one coming up next week, right?
Yeah, big one for us. We're going to be there with the brothers who talk to each other,
and my dad is going to be there. And I'm really looking forward to seeing him again because I haven't seen him since he ran away with you.
Yeah, well, it's not romantic. I wish you wouldn't bring it up like this.
Right. Well, let's refresh our memory here. I also remember loving this album in the way that I just couldn't ever seem to fully digest it. Every time I put it on, there was some new warble of information I was taking in, some new beat I hadn't picked up on before, some hidden rhythm. The organization of tracks here is just fantastic. Like I said to you, I think, a while back, DJ Cozy has a knack for cultivating a sound that is just completely mystifying. He exists in this plane where everything is sort of alien and mysterious. I love the album cover of him in this old, like, cactus-looking tree thing with his scarecrow hat on, like he's some Cirque du Soleil performer, because that's very much the vibe I get. And as goofy and crazy as that may sound, like, I don't want to listen to that at all, I absolutely love that aesthetic. And the mysterious nature of it all is really intriguing to me. The way in which some of these songs can kind of alienate you, but still pulse with rhythm and a groove is just super rewarding. Mm-hmm. I think this thing rocks. I think it works best when you have it all start to finish, pulling out individual tracks. I think sometimes they lose a little bit of their mustard, putting them on my best track shows for the year. They're never quite as hard-hitting as they are in the context of this album, but that's a testament to the cohesiveness of this record, the singular vision with which he paints, calling back to some almost like a tribal indigenous race of dancers and DJs that have always existed on this planet and are now making their presence known. I don't know, I'm drawing my own interpretations here, but that's the beauty of this kind of electronic music, is that you can visualize your own portrait with the sounds that are created.
Yeah, no, the DJs of the Bible era.
So what do you see?
DJs of the Bible era, like back when Jesus, you know, that stint after he was a carpenter, but before he was Christ, Jesus, right. He was a DJ. And I DJ Cozy, I think, ties into that idea of that life that springs forth from the earth.
Yeah.
No, I think that's I think you're trying to hit on a tone that I really appreciated in this album. That sense of whimsy, but it's not like a Wes Anderson like twee whimsy. Like if he was in a record store, he wouldn't be like the Wes Anderson type, like going to, you know, oh, did you ever hear French, you know, Nouveau Girl music and like very kind of obviously trendy stuff or like the obvious underground stuff. He's like, did you ever hear this like one rock song that like Dr. Dre did in 98? Like truly obscure stuff that's like in the trash dollar record pile that he finds gold out of. I think is more his aesthetic. I find that more approachable. And in the context of Knock Knock, that kind of embracing of like weird samples or unexpected samples is so much different than anything he's done before. I think like it feels so much heftier somehow. It feels like there's more happening here. There's something more emotionally happening than before. And yet it's still really fun. You know, it's like, despite all that, he's still the guy who's like trying to introduce you to, that song about buying condoms and having safe sex that was a dance song from the 90s that I played when we last recorded an episode 50 years ago.
Classic.
Yeah.
I think even though this album is definitely long, it doesn't really feel that long, and in some ways feels shorter than albums that are a shorter length than this. Let's get into some of the tracks themselves. We'll start with the opener, Club der Ewigkeiten.
Oh,
very liquidy at the beginning.
Did you look up how to pronounce that?
Sure didn't. Let's jump ahead to the cool part. I think it's a fantastic opener. It sets the stage and the mood immediately as sort of, like you said, whimsical, playful, but good-natured, not twee or knowing, just here to have a good time and entertain you.
Yeah, and it's really, I don't want to say it's cinematic, because that's not the right word for it, but it like it makes you feel like something momentous is about to happen. It's the definition of like an intro track, where you're just sitting in this big, like fluty, astral plane for a little bit before you get into the real stuff.
Consider it's like the overture, and you're in like a stage theater performance, and it's the overture tune as the colors and the curtain is being pulled back, and you can see the scenery and establish the setting for the show. You know, it's all that expositional work at the front.
Yeah.
We get into Bonfire after that, which is, I'm going to say here, one of my absolute favorites from this record. I love the use of the Bon Iver sample inside of this thing. It is just fantastic. Very similar to that guy that we did 2 years ago. Who was that guy? Forest Fire, James Blake.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And to the point where, like, he and Bon Iver coordinated on a number of those songs on that album, but I think nothing sounds as good as this track does here. I love that bass boo-doo at the very end of those rhythms there. Man, yeah, it's fantastic.
It's like
that track is so good.
It's really good. I agree. It's one of the best on the album. It's one of those like things where the nature of that track is not so untraditional. Like, there's a lot of electronic tracks that are moody in the way that is, but it's like all of the like accoutrement around the song, like that weird out of time clicking that he uses in the middle of it, that like just sort of distracts from how smooth the dance
floor is. Is that perfect?
You play chopsticks with your mouth. No one ever needed to hear that in a podcast.
We got some annihilation sounds in here. But he does that great thing with experimental music where he pushes the boundaries just enough to make you feel uncomfortable, but then brings it back into the groove. I love that. It's so perfect. So easy. Not abrasive in the way that it's unsettling to listen to. It's just enough of a push on the structure of the song to make you feel like, wow, he's onto something.
Totally. And I have my way into this album is not, I don't think there's like a true, like, you know how I like to find narrative in albums, but...
Of course.
I don't think there's, like, actually a narrative here, but I think tonally there almost is. Like, this album to me almost feels like a one crazy night movie, where you're starting in the beginning, and it's kind of moody, and it's almost like that Avalanche's record from 2016.
Yeah, that's a great comparison. Yeah, Colors.
Yeah. Where you're going to end up in a very different place than where you started, but like the emotional through line of like a kind of melancholy night where you're also out partying at a club is kind of the vibe, but not in a, I don't know, obnoxious way.
Yeah, and I got to say that I like this record more than that one, just because with that album, they are, I think, really intentionally trying to establish a narrative with all of the, you know, polyphonics or what's the plunderphonics is their thing they use, where they like steal sound bits and like vocal lines and like dialogue.
Right. There's a part in that album where quite literally they need to get from one place to another. So there's a song called Subway where you hear a subway while the song plays before you get to your next destination.
It's a bit too heavy on the narrative stuff. And while that album, I think, goes to weirder places with stuff like A Noisy Eater, you never get that level of bizarre craziness on here. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with the more abstract, like I said, cosmic, almost alien, danceable energy that's going on throughout most of this record.
Yeah. Although, in the place of something as fun and obscure as Noisy Eater, this album does feature Sophia Kennedy, who is on his label,
not once,
I believe.
But twice.
Yes. And although I think her tracks are pretty subdued, in my mind, every time she shows up, it's that special and obscure and good. So... It evens out.
Let's play some from the first one she's featured on. This Is My Rock.
Oh, and man. Just, like, point out, too. Like, that Kanye West chipmunk sample thing, he is, like, undoubtedly become the worst at that, and everyone has, like, become better at him than that, and I think DJ Cozy is the best at it right now. That sample, when that hits in context in the song, is awesome.
Choice.
It makes the whole song feel, because that song is like a little bit anorexic, to be honest. Like, there's not enough happening in it, but then that sample kicks in, and it feels like a great song all of a sudden.
I think DJ Cozy makes a great case for the art of the DJ. You know, and not just being a person that lines up songs, but is attuned to the subtle moments and the ways in which their contributions or their selections or their intermixing can bring about truly sublime small moments in songs like that. He's just putting on a masterclass of it all through this record.
Yeah, and how fun that can be, like in life and in music. Like, I remember one of my favorite memories of going to a record store was digging through. They're like, I don't know, I guess I'll charge money for this garbage no one wants. Here, like, pay a dollar for it. And finding a record of this band from, like, the 50s where the album art was, like, four cowboys who were, like, completely naked in a bathtub and all of the songs were just, like, straightforward country music.
And recorded in that bathtub.
If only. Yeah. Like that idea of like when you start a DJ Cozy song, like what sample he's going to bring and like what he's pulling from popular music is truly unexpected. Not in a, you know, Against All Odds was an album this year that I think got a ton of praise for pulling interesting samples.
Take a look at me now.
Right? That song wrote an album.
Sweet.
It was sick. And but like all the samples Against All Odds pulls are like kind of trendy and like they might not be expected, but you can see where the through line is. Like I feel like DJ Cozy, when he pulls a sample, it's like a mind blowing experience.
Yeah, for sure. Let's play a little bit from that closer featuring Sophia Kennedy. Also, Drone Me Up, Flashy. Very alien.
Yeah, I got lost in that. I was just stuck in this moment of imagining what I was even listening to.
Yeah. What were you listening to?
Maybe it's like they did... what's that drug you do in the desert?
Peyote?
Peyote. The character in this album did peyote, and we're now... They're laying out watching the sunrise. And they thought they saw an alien.
I buy that. That sounds like the narrative of this album.
Okay, well, solve them prompt. We did it.
Cool. Let me pick out some other of my highlights for you. You know which one I love?
Illumination.
No, it's the next one. Pick Up! I think I said to you in passing... This is some of the best house music I've heard in a very long time. Like, scratching that, like, turn of the millennium Daft Punk kind of feel. Mm-hmm. And this song also has a fantastic, what's the word? Not a feature, but like a sample. Yeah, that they pull. Here, check this out. Check this out. Wants to be the first to say. Wants to be the first to say goodbye. I mean, it's 6.5 minutes of that beat, but it's for some reason it just completely hypnotizes me. I really love it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's what the best house music does, though, right? It's like there's something that hits you on a level that is apart from your critical, you know, music experience, where they just for whatever reason the way the beat operates, it like just fits like, you know, candy in your brain, and you're perfectly comfortable sitting with it for a long time because it is easily repeatable. It's
hypnotic, man.
Yeah, and I think I find house music generally not fun because there's only so much of that I can take, which is why DJ Cozy is the perfect way to get house music because he's going to surround those straight dance tracks with a bunch of weirder, more dynamic stuff so you can kind of appreciate, better appreciate the repetitive stuff.
Yeah, And one place where I think he gets real weird and awesome, for my taste, is on the track Muddy Funster. Try to find some more of that crazy old man talking. What's the need to have her after dead? When he wakes, he holds up his head and bends. What's the need to have her? Everything looks like a man. I don't know why that one track stood out so strongly to me, but I found that vocal delivery very affecting and haunting, and all of the little sound effects going on in the background there, that great little counter melody in like what sounds like the synthesizer in that is just really gorgeous and haunting. Yeah. I really like this track a whole lot.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I don't even think you need to like defend it too much. I think it's so obviously good. But I understand why you would want to, because pulling these tracks out from the album is difficult. And like the way we kind of do things for forming this big year-end playlist where we're just pulling like, you know, here's three or four tracks from this good album. I had trouble with that.
Because there's
something about the start-to-finish experience of this album that you almost forget how slow it can be because it's paced so well. And then whenever you go back to revisit like your favorite moments, you're like, oh, this feels different. This feels different without the track that came before it.
Yeah, like, you know, getting Knock Knock out of the context of the album, it's like, wow, this is a really long house song, and I don't know if I can sit with it for that well. But inside of an hour-long album, it's just 6 minutes. It's a blip on the radar, and it feels so different. I think Bonfire might be the one song that works so well on its own, and I think it's intentionally sort of a singular track in that way. But even then, it is much stronger coming after the opening track. Sure. Total cohesive package.
Yes. I have a track that I think is even better to pull out. And it's one that I had like a whole arc with, where at first when I heard it, I was like, okay, of course, we're going to have a song where DJ Cozy, you know, features, he has a rap feature, and that's going to be the focus of the track. I think pretty much any house artist or electronic artist does that. You just expect it, you move on. Mm-hmm. It's a totally predictable move. And it was like one of my least favorite tracks of the album to start. It's Colors of Autumn. But then I found myself wanting to listen to DJ Cozy, but not this entire album. And this, I feel like Colors of Autumn is one of the only tracks you can just pull out of it. And I have listened to it so much that it's now one of my favorite tracks of the year. I love Colors of Autumn. I think it's perfect. I think it tells a beautiful story of uneasy romance and finding
you love that
the
stuff.
Patience to love your dad. It's our song, actually. Would you mind playing a clip?
My dad, in this case, right?
Yes, that's your dad. That's what I'm saying. I didn't mean generally loving your father. I meant loving Charlie's dad.
Yeah, okay.
Also, of note, is this guitar sample? He's used this exact sample in a song before.
Sweet. The sample's so good, he used it twice.
Exactly.
And it almost is, like you said, that's the kind of like smooth jazz you hear on the Weather Channel or in an elevator going to your hotel room. Like, it's not the kind of thing that's immediately captivating. Let's jump ahead and get some of the rap in there.
Oh, look how good that is. In a way, like, this song almost is like indicative of the experience of the album as a whole, because the narrative of the song, it starts out in a pretty predictable way. It features a guy named Speech, who I've not heard before. I don't know about you.
No, can't say I have.
Yeah, I no familiarity with that guy's career, but his verse at first is essentially like, okay, listen, I want to be the greatest. I want to be a GOAT. I want to be the greatest sexual partner you've ever had. But I told you we're not going to be exclusive because I like sleeping around. But then by the end of the song, both he and his partner are realizing that their feelings go much deeper and it's much more complicated than they want because they have found something more than they expected and now have to deal with that. And it's like it's like at first what you assume it is one thing and you're there for that, but there's something much more if you care to look, which is pretty much this whole album. And I love it. I think it's the story of love and romance for the year.
Wow, that's a bold statement here in the seventh month of the year. We got a long ways to go. What? Clearly you haven't listened to that Church's album yet, Mark. We talk about Love is Dead. But we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
Did you like Seeing Aliens?
I honestly can't remember what it is. It's been too long.
Let's play Seeing Aliens.
Hell yeah, I like Seeing Aliens.
Yeah, it's pretty good. For whatever reason, I'm gravitating toward the house stuff, and maybe it's because I don't get enough of that on the regular.
It's really good, though. It's really good, though.
It's really, really good. It's really, really good.
Every single song on this album is like, it reminds me of when I was like 15 years old, had like a, or so, having like a big crush on someone, and like feeling like it was so dramatic, and like oh, I can never tell them how much I love them, this person that I've known for 4 days. You know, like, I love it so much. It's so good.
There's an intensity to it.
Yeah.
But I gotta agree with you, Mark. I think this thing is one of the strongest albums of the year so far. A ton of personality, rewards multiple listens. There's a wonderful depth and complexity to it that makes me want to go back and listen to it. And I gotta say, you know, having a month and a half to listen to this thing was rewarding. I feel like to give it any less than that, I just wouldn't have as much nuanced opinion of it. So thanks.
Yeah, when we first talked about recording, when we were still in our 20s, we were talking about it almost as if like, we'll even be able to fill a conversation. Like, this is just a fun dance album. And like, now look, we have nothing but things to say. If we wanted, we could probably talk for 4 more hours about it.
We are scholars. But Mark, I'm going to ask you for your highlight reel. What are you taking?
I'm going to disregard. I actually had picks already, but this far removed from my initial listens, I feel like they're going to be different. So I'm just going to pick them right now. I got to take Bonfire.
Hot takes. Got some hot takes. Bonfire is a must.
Yes. Colors of Autumn is a must, at least for me.
Yeah. That's a fun one.
I love that sample, and This Is My Rock. So I'm going to have to give, I don't want to say a pity vote, because it's not out of pity, but just like, I like Sophia Kennedy. Yeah. You nailed it.
I understand.
Pick up roles, Seeing Aliens roles. I don't know. One of them.
I might recommend Pickup over Seeing Aliens, but I'm going to take them both.
Okay.
Along with Bonfire. And, of course, Muddy Funster, man. That thing is underrated.
Well, according to who? Have you seen people talking trash on Muddy Funster?
No. But I don't think people are talking about it enough.
Yeah, like, there's no New York Times headlines that are like, Muddy Funster still rules.
You guys listen to Muddy Funster yet? Holy Lord. This thing bumps.
Until the president tweets about Muddy Funster, this protest will not end.
I agree. Album of the summer, Mark, potentially?
Oh, man. Yeah, maybe. It's funny, because this came out right when that Beach House album did. Both extremely strong summer contenders.
Yeah. And also, there have been about 3,500 albums since we last recorded to talk about, but that's for another day. That is DJ Cozy's Knock Knock. In case you haven't heard at this point, it's pretty dang good. Give it a spin. You'll find something worth listening to. And honestly, your highlights could be completely different from ours, because this is kind of an album where you get out of it what you look into it. So
you get what you pay for.
Exactly. And no such thing as a free lunch. So give it a spin. We think you'll like it. And when we come back from our break here, we'll trickle down economics always works. And when we come back from the break, we will trickle down to the latest single from One Childish Gambino, This Is America. So stay tuned. All right, we are back and ready to dive into the latest offerings from the Billboard Hot 100. 6 weeks ago, it was Childish Gambino's This Is America, so that is the topic of our conversation today. Infamous, Mark, for a very provocative music video that accompanied the release of the song. I haven't heard, is Childish Gambino prepping another album here? Is that why we're getting this thing?
I feel like the world is kind of constantly under threat of a new Childish Gambino album.
Ooh, strong words to open up this this segment.
This word's had some BDE.
Yeah. Certainly a lot of folks talking about this thing. This is America, you know. What more could be said? A more provocative statement there has yet to be made in our modern era. But we're going to take a look at that music video one more time here and talk about what's going on as well. I don't think you can separate those two things. So Mark's got that thing pulled up on his computer right now, ready to go.
Yep. While I pull this up, can I tell a story?
I'd love it to. Is it about Childish Gambino and the time you met him?
No, it's about cheese.
Okay.
So this is blowing my mind, and I want the world to know because I was truly... This is America's story. So there's a gas station / convenience store right near my apartment. I don't know if you remember.
I'm thinking back to the gas station / convenience store. Yes, I've got a picture in my head.
Okay, perfect. I had some veggie shredded chicken, like fake chicken. I was excited. I was going to make like a chicken quesadilla. But I realized, man, I don't have any cheese. That sucks. So I went to the gas station. It's like, I wonder, maybe those have like some cheese. Sometimes they have stuff like that. Looking through all their dumb fake supermarket section, and I find some Kraft Singles. Okay?
Perfect.
12 slices of Kraft Singles.
Technically, that is cheese. Cheese product.
It's technically cheese, sure. I think it's technically not cheese, isn't it?
Well, I think they call it cheese product.
Right, yes. Technically, cheese... Product. So I was like, okay, and also I ran out of ketchup. So I grabbed one of the small Heinz ketchup bottles, like the regular size one, a small one.
Right. Itty bitties.
Itty bitty ketchup bottle and 12 slices of Kraft Singles. I go to the cash register, set everything down, and guess how much it cost?
A couple of bucks.
Wrong. This is where you're wrong. That's exactly where you're wrong. Because I set down my tiny ketchup and my 12 slices of cheese. I swear to God, those two, I set them down, he scans them, and he goes, that'll be $11.
Yep.
$11.
You're getting that fancy ketchup. It's that brand name.
No, because I asked, I literally said, are you sure? And he said, Kraft Singles... and ketchup. The ketchup is $2.50, which is like already too much for this small bottle. The Kraft Singles are $8.
$8 for Kraft Singles?
For 12 slices.
That's some good cheese product.
I said out loud to him, this cheese cost me $8. And I looked behind me because a small crowd, like the line was laughing, and there's a guy behind me who said, that's some dope-ass cheese right there!
I said, that gas station cheese.
That's what he said. It was gas station cheese. That's some dope-ass gas station cheese. You gotta get your gas station cheese. So I said to him, I cannot pay $8 for this cheese. And he said, well, give it to me. And he was mad at me for charging me $8 for cheese.
Like, it's his fault that the cheese was $8.
And no, I wasn't mad at him. I at no point yelled at him. I was just shocked.
You were incredulous.
Never before in my life has anything been priced that poorly.
Yeah.
Not even like a 24 pack. Like 12 slices of what resembles cheese for $8.
Ugh, that is not enough. I get you a whole packet of cheese for like 2 cents.
Seriously? Okay.
All right. Well, I'm glad you got that out of your system.
It's messed up. It happened last night, and I've been thinking about it all day.
Yeah. Well, let's get messed up one more time. This is America. If you're following along with us at home, you can start playing your music video now. Okay, so we got some words on the screen. That's pretty good. Oh, look who that is. It's Donald Glover.
It's America's greatest rapper.
All right. So far, it's great. I love it. Lots of positivity. Yeah, yeah, yes. It's a bright, up-tempo beat.
Is that the Yeah, Yeah, Yes who wrote this?
I think so.
Okay.
Says, on Genius here, the guitarist and gospel choir featured at the opening of the song plays it within a long tradition of black music and art. As has been the case throughout history, particularly American history, art itself becomes both a response to and balm for pain. A choir can also represent a group coming together and performing as a single body. Bino, Childish Gambino, stylized as Bino here, B-I-N-O, emphasizes that black people live together and die together in their fight against injustice.
Yes. So, response to that annotation, like, that is my main perception of Childish Gambino's career, is that, like, of course, rap music has been doing this since day one. Like, calling back to, you know, eras of black music that have since been appropriated, and, like, deeply reminding you that they are black in origin, and then using that to point out problems in society. And I feel like people who listen to Childish Gambino just haven't been confronted with that music yet, or have not heard it, or haven't thought about it. And so when they see Childish Gambino do the thing that everyone else has been doing, they're like, oh my god, he's doing this thing.
Yeah.
Right?
So you're saying it's like the teenagers that are finding him first. And like, they are the reason why this has been propped up in the way that it has.
I'm saying it's like people at your office who, like, you just look at them and you know they're boring. And then they're like, did you, I was on BuzzFeed today. This is exactly what they'll say to you. I was on BuzzFeed today. Did you see this? I think it's Donald Glover. I guess he has like, has a name like,
Child Gambino.
Child
the Gambino.
The Gambino.
Like Chance the Rapper, but Child the Gambino.
No, step already. They have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, okay.
This rapper, Donald Glover, he has the song about America. Have you seen this going around online?
Let me tell you, it's pretty messed up.
Yeah, like you won't expect. It's twisted, but I think he has a good point.
Okay. Well, according to Genius, dropping amid ongoing political and cultural tumult and turmoil, Childish Gambino's This Is America appears to be a commentary on black life in America and American culture as a whole. It contrasts popular culture's perception of black experience and its often brutal reality by juxtaposing happy, carefree choruses and dark, aggressive verses. This contrast may also allude to the cyclical shifts in mood whenever there is a shooting in America. One second the entire nation is in an uproar, the next they are happy and unconcerned, placated by pop culture trends. In the music video, directed by frequent Gambino collaborator Hiro Murai, Gambino portrays this comparison by dancing around gleefully with school-aged children seemingly unbothered by the chaotic scenes of violence in the background. However, in the short film's final scene, Gambino is seen running frantically through a darkened warehouse trying to escape the mob that now chases him. A reminder that if American students remain willfully ignorant to its problems, they will inevitably be the country's downfall. This Is America is Gambino's first single since he dropped the 2016 studio album Awaken My Love. The song's release coincided with Gambino's appearance on Saturday Night Live, where he performed the new track along with Saturday, another new track.
Yeah, that's all true. It's all true. I had a friend of mine who was in a band. I was at his apartment, and he had, first of all, was insisting to me that I watch the show The Good Place.
Great show.
I hear it's great.
It's good.
No, I hear it's great. I think
it's a good place.
You're right. It's right there in the title. But he had thrown on Childish Gambino, and he asked me, like, oh, like, do you like this kind of stuff? You into Childish Gambino? I was like, I don't know. I feel like every time he does anything in his career, it's just like a slightly cleaned up version of the less interesting version of stuff everybody else did. Mm-hmm. I said, let me show you what I think the best stuff is right now. I put on cartoons by Cupcake.
Yeah. Yeah, you did.
I was like, let's get real. Like, forget this guy. So put him in your back burner and listen to this. And he listened to the whole song. And he said, oh, that's kind of funny. But I think Childish Gambino just has more to say.
Yeah, first off, Cupcake is insulted by you saying it's kind of funny. That is one of the funniest songs of the year. It will be one of the funniest songs of the year, mm-hmm. hands down.
Yes.
A lot of guys walk around full of you-know-what, so you know they walk around pooping. Is one of my favorite lyrics of the year.
I forgot about that line. That's actually funny.
I want to highlight that great lyric from one of her recent singles, Quiz, How You Hidden Stains with Stains in Your Undies, which I think is amazing.
And just her screaming how at the top of her lungs, like right immediately following that. Yeah.
I heard the first 30 seconds of that song and immediately put it on my best tracks playlist for the year.
Instantly.
Cupcake is a national treasure.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's keep talking about this Gambino guy, because we're going to get some messed up stuff here.
Okay. Crazy face.
All right.
Oh my god, I froze it on the most perfect moment. You're getting a screen cap, buddy. This one's good.
It's good.
It's twisted, this image I'm sending you.
We got some Young Thug featuring on this song.
Oh yeah? I actually didn't know that.
Yeah. Supposedly on that We Just Want a Party bit, that's Young Thug in there too.
Sure. Young Thug is pretty good. Everything's good.
So the lyrics are, we just want a party, party just for you. We just want the money, money just for you. Lyrically broken down. There's your screenshot coming in. Oh, wow. His eyes are very big. That's great. Nice pause there. According to Genius, these lyrics in the video as a whole explore the relationship between the dancing and partying and violence that combine to make up so much of both entertainment and black life in America. In the music video, Donald and a group of school children perform popular dances like the Shoot and the Roy Purdy dance, while other people scatter in the background. Donald and the children remain the focal point, representing how social media blinds people from the true problems in America by feeding them entertainment and pointless trends.
Okay, I'm just going to say, this is like sub Kendrick Lamar cover material, man. Do you remember the line, we want the funk, if I give you the funk, you're going to take it? Like,
yeah.
That line is more immediate, has more to say, the entire song has more to say, but, like, just those two lines sum up this entire idea in such a short span and in such a more mm-hmm. such a more powerful way. And
yeah.
I don't like, okay, wait, I just want to be clear. It's not that only one artist or like, Childish Gambino doesn't have to, he can say whatever he wants. Like, this is fine that he wrote This Is America, but I think this song is okay.
Yeah. A hot take for me here is that I don't think this song works without its music video.
Absolutely.
I think if you heard this on the radio, it is a very average song. I think the video is well produced.
It's iconic. And
yeah, I think it will become one of the more important videos of the year when we look back on this thing.
Yeah.
But I think the song itself is not anything special. But we've got three more minutes to go, so.
It's got a catchy hook. Like, I think that also is a big part of its appeal, sure. is that it has a catchy hook in a way that's not too aggressive. Like, the ways in which the song is kind of visceral and boundary pushing are literally not even in the music. There's nothing that pushes the slightest button in this song. It is entirely the video of the imagery of him shooting children or whatever. Which so, yeah.
Well, there's a choir, and there's that guy that he just killed with a guitar.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So let's pick it up at the 1 minute mark. Here we go.
This is America.
Don't catch you slipping now.
Don't catch you slipping now. Look what I'm whipping now. This is America. Don't catch you slipping now. Look how I'm living now. Police be tripping now. Yeah, this is America. Guns in my area. I got the strap.
Hey.
I gotta carry 'em. Yeah, yeah, I'ma go into this. Yeah, yeah, this is Gorilla. Yeah, yeah, I'ma go get the bag.
Does him being shirtless freak you out at all, the way he's writhing around?
Yeah, no, I think he's just, like, I think he's just trying to represent, like, media representation of black Americans.
Yeah.
And like,
I've read that it's, in particular, a reference to the Jim Crow posters.
Oh, okay.
Like, with his, you know, granted his eyes are intentionally embiggened in places, but I think that's meant to be like the racist stereotypes on posters back in the, you know, 1930s and whatnot.
Yeah. Sure. I wouldn't have known that. That makes perfect sense.
Cool.
You know, I, for all of my like general, like, I don't want to sit here and just like take a dump on his whole career outside of the song. Like, I think the hook works just fine. Lyrically, I feel like, you know, he's real 6 out of 10, generally speaking, but, it all works. Like, nothing in the song doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
You know what
it's
I mean?
It's just not for you.
It's just a little Stayed. It's a little bit too much like the band Stain.
Oh, yeah. This is how you remind me of what I really am.
Yeah, this is America. Like, that's the same
song.
Can
you take me higher? Stained is great.
Mm-hmm.
To a place where dark men read.
To a place where dark men read?
Is that the lyric? I don't know the lyrics.
Is that really the lyric?
I don't know.
What kind of obscure racism is that?
I don't know. Frank Guan from Vulture says, jubilant black culture abounds not only in resistance to the lethal violence directed at its makers, but also in complicity with it. When Glover stages the murder of a black guitarist in a black church choir, it's not a white policeman pulling the trigger, but Glover himself. And after each killing, he resumes his dancing with the same live wire energy and his rapping with the same assured flow as if nothing had happened. If black culture affirms itself accurately as a testament to its maker's capacity for grace, invention, and vigor in the face of an inhuman social reality, Glover's own affirmation contains a shadowy admission that such makers cultivate their own agony in the act of representation.
Hey, that's a really
that's a
nice annotation.
Paragraph.
Yeah. Same thought. High five.
Woo! Better than most of the tribes we usually get.
Yeah. I think the song's actually great for... I think this song does more good than bad because it's reaching people who I think don't listen to rap music who,
yeah,
you know, it's like a good starter, you know, guy.
He's getting the people talking.
Yeah. You know, cool. Maybe those people could expand their horizons a little bit after, but. Yeah.
Listen to some Kendrick Lamar, you know?
Yeah. Or, you know.
Let's keep going. There goes the choir.
Those back and choir vocals are really good. Sound really nice.
Yeah. Do you like the juxtaposition of the sounds there? Because it is two very different ideas kind of playing with each other.
It's a little, like, it's super catchy. Like, it's an earworm technique or something, because whenever you listen to the song, it's stuck in your, at least for me, I'm thinking of, like, this part of the song in particular for the next 20 minutes. But I do think it's good. What about you?
Yeah, it's fine, but again, like other Childish Gambino stuff, I've never been drawn in. Like, he's never found a way to hook me in, and this is kind of right. registering at the same spot as the other stuff. I think, the only track that's really gotten me is that Redbone, which I think is great, and works super well as the opening to Get Out. But, yeah, I don't know about this.
Yeah, it's like, if, we were kids. Well, even if we weren't kids, it's like if you went to a party at one person's house and they're like, check it out, I got a trampoline. And you're like, nice. And you're jumping around on the trampoline. And then you find a bounce house and you're like, oh my God, a bounce house. So you go hang out at the bounce house. And then you go back to the trampoline and you're like, that's okay, I have a bounce house. Like, I feel like I have to do work to get back to a headspace where this feels new. So that's my metaphor for today.
Yeah. The choral chorus, the chorus the choir sings, is Get Your Money, Black Man. Get Your Money, Black Man. You go tell somebody Grandma told me, Get Your Money, Black Man. Doreen St. Felix, in an essay in The New Yorker, called this refrain an echo of the old edifying dogmas of black striving. The lines point to the hard truth behind a grandmother's encouragement. Even if he succeeds in getting his money as an African-American, he will still be discriminated against. They also draw out the complicated relationship between success, especially as an entertainer, and suffering. St. Felix also points out that This Is America is the first song Gambino has released since he has reached a new level of celebrity and success. His TV show Atlanta premiered in 2016, the same year his last album was released. He's since been cast in the iconic roles of Lando Calrissian and Simba in two 2018 Disney movies, Solo and The Lion King. He's been profiled for The New Yorker. He's gotten his money, but, as St. Felix writes, he has found ways to point to the absurdity of celebrity worship rather than becoming a spokesman for it.
Wow. He was in Girls for 5 minutes.
Yeah, he was in Community for like 5 seasons.
Well, yeah, that is probably his greatest work, right?
I like that show quite a bit.
His comedy sucks, but he was good in Community.
Sure.
He was in Girls.
I don't watch Atlanta. Yeah.
I hear Atlanta's great. I don't want to say anything about Atlanta. I haven't seen it.
Right.
But he was in Girls because a lot of people were really mad at Lena Dunham because she had painted New York City, like of all places, as being entirely filled with white people who look exactly like her. And so she said, oh, don't worry, I have one black guy. It's Donald Glover.
Hey,
he's in one
you
scene.
You guys love him, right?
Yeah, you guys love him. He's in one scene for 7 minutes.
Great. And they said, that's all we need. Thanks so much.
Yeah, like almost exactly, yeah.
There's a lot of stuff happening in the background in this video, Mark. I don't know if you're catching up on it, but what do you think about this one long take? It's certainly a trick that visual artists will use to capture the attention and the discussion. We saw it done in such classic films as Birdman. And I know you fucking hated it there, so what do you think?
Swear word! You said Beep! Swear word!
What do you think?
No, I actually, every time I watch Birdman, I like it more.
Yeah, you're right, because it's a great movie.
I do think that, like, can we at least admit to ourselves, though, that long takes are no longer impressive at all?
No, I'm never gonna agree with that. I think they're hot stuff right now. I think people want to see them, but
like literally everything is one take now. Like The Simpsons now is one take. Did you know that?
No, I didn't. That's pretty cool.
Every episode of The Simpsons is one take. Just sweet. From the couch gag, they all get up and you see them go through their day.
That's very cool. I like that.
And they have to go through the intro still, so they never get to the episode because you have to see Homer drive to work. And Marge go to the grocery store, and that takes forever to get there. So The Simpsons is ruined because of these long takes.
They just ran out of ideas all these years later.
They just show the intro, like a 20-minute version of the intro over and over every week.
Right, let's keep going.
Look what I'm whipping up. This is America. Don't catch you slipping up. Don't catch you slipping up. Look what I'm whipping up. Look how I'm kicking up. I'm so pretty. I'm on Gucci. I'm so pretty. Yeah. I'm on get it. Watch me move. This is selling.
Black.
That must have been really expensive to make this. It's a lot of people in motion at one time.
Gambino here mimics people who are easily distracted from social issues by material items and social status, like every other rapper featured on this thing, including 21 Savage, Young Thug, Quavo. Let's get on the list. Blockboy JB. All those guys.
Blockboy JB is overrated.
I agree.
I don't hear those features. Where are those features?
It's written in the annotations on the Genius page through the chorus. Okay. I'm guessing it's them doing the ad-lib stuff after the main line has been spoken.
What a waste. All these rappers who are better than Childish Gambino just sitting there in the sidelines watching him perform.
Doing that thing they do best, just making noises after they come up with mediocre rhymes.
Hot takes.
Sorry, it's been a while. Many of the reactions to this video on social media mentioned that dance moves distracted them from what was really happening in the video, which is the point that Gambino wants to get across. People are more concerned with the latest dance fad and social issues like systematic racism and gun violence.
Can you imagine the dumb asshole who watches this video is like, I...
Why are they dancing? I can't see the background.
I couldn't enjoy that music video. They danced too much in it.
Yeah.
I couldn't see that long take. If you were to compare stylistically, single shot long takes, like tracking shots, I think this one reminds me most of that scene in Inglourious Basterds, where like the focus is, look how many moving parts are in the shot at a given point, like how much, like just showing off the coordination necessary to make the scene happen as an effect.
Yeah.
Just all right, that's fine.
Well, let's keep going. It's weed, you guys!
Whoa!
There's weed in this video!
Yeah, this is the part of the video that reminds me of a student film.
Sometimes you just gotta light some weed up, you know?
Sometimes. Which times?
Whenever you just had a dance party with all your friends in a car or parking garage.
I hated hanging out at your dance party. I couldn't see the parking garage because of all the dancing.
Yeah. Mark, have you been playing Fortnite recently?
No.
I was going to say that's a popular dance in the Fortnite.
What is?
The one they were doing where they were scooting their legs.
Okay, Dad. Yeah.
No, don't talk about my dad.
I'm sorry. That's sensitive. I wasn't talking to you. He's here. I was just saying. He was asking if it was okay if he went out. I said sure.
Yeah. We're going to hear Young Thug saying a little bit, America, I just checked my following list, and you MFers owe me. As of this song's release, Young Thug has 2.7 million followers on Twitter and 5 million followers on Instagram. Thugger complaining about not having enough of the social media following plays into the song's theme of being blinded by the trivial aspects of pop culture.
Wow.
Donald Glover deleted all of his Instagram posts and most of his tweets shortly after he announced he was abandoning the Childish Gambino name in January 2018, and his only posts since were announcements for This Is America.
So this poster is basically saying, like, Young Thug is an idiot who he's the guy who was like, it's too much dancing, I can't see the background. Like, he missed the point.
Yeah. Turns out all these featured guests are getting punked by Childish Gambino.
But, like,
he got them to be in a roast song about them featuring themselves.
I changed my mind. This song rules.
That would be awesome if you could get someone to do that. Like, come in, do some features for me, and turn it into a roast.
Just a bunch of, like, the whole choir just starts, like, ragging on him.
Yeah.
Nice dress, Young Thug.
Thugger doesn't know how to count. What? Thugger doesn't know how to count.
Oh.
You're 21 Savage can only count to 8.
Can I at least say how annoying it is that he was like, no, I delete my social media now. And then promotes, like, as promotion for the song. Like, yeah. That is the most Childish Gambino song.
Oh, by the
or
way,
Childish Gambino I've ever.
He's more like grownish Gambino now.
Was it going to be, you know, regular Bow Wow, not Lil Bow Wow? Tell me that. Riddle me this.
Yeah. I don't know, but let's see where this thing goes.
America, I just checked my follow and listen. You motherfuckers owe me.
That's kind of fun. This is the part of the video where I actually lose the plot a little bit. So, you know, I understand the reference with the dancing on the car there, but what is this shot of just observing all of these cars?
It's all the people that left their cars because of the violence.
Oh, it's like
they all ran away.
Okay.
Yeah. Although I like that one girl who's just hanging out, like,
she's
on
looking
the car
at you.
Just watching.
Hey, are you filming this?
During this part of the music video, Donald Glover is standing on a car holding what appears to be a joint before flicking it away and dancing or getting down like Michael Jackson while the camera pans out.
Or, quote unquote, getting down.
There's more to unpack. There's more to unpack. Consequently, he says, 1, 2, 3, get down as the song hits its apex. Feels less like a prefix to partying and more like a warning. This is America. Get down.
Oh.
Glover's carefree demeanor here is contrasted with the chaotic outro that features the rapper frantically running from a frenzied horde a la the Beatles in A Hard Day's Night.
Okay. I take back I now understand the Get Down reference. I thought that the person writing that annotation was like, or to you kids out there, getting down.
Yeah. We got 30 seconds to go, Mark. Let's finish this thing up.
Where are we going?
Is he just doing the Get Out Challenge?
Oh, that would be a terrible social media event, the Get Out Challenge.
That was a thing for a while, didn't you
see
that?
Is that real?
Where you have to, like, run as fast as you can at somebody and at the last second swerve off and go somewhere
else. Okay, that rules. I didn't realize that's what that was.
Yeah.
I thought the Get Out Challenge was, will you remove a brain and be able to be another...
Spoilers! Spoilers! Despite the luxuries Gambino, Thug, and other wealthy African-Americans are able to afford, they are still forced to deal with the struggles of racism in American society. The video drives this point home with cheap run-of-the-mill vehicles.
Seeing in its metaphor feel like asides in, like, better artists. Like, the lines in this, I feel like, they would be, like, throwaways, you know, in, like, anyone else's track.
I guess for a song to be this explicitly... No, for a song to be this explicit in its messaging, where the lyrics are of a medium explicit nature, is maybe frustrating. Certainly the video is empowering. That's not the word. It's affecting. Yeah. It's emotional. It's provocative for sure. But I don't think the content of the song itself live up to the images provided. And so you're at sort of a disjunction between those two things.
I completely agree, yeah. And even as someone who like is not super hot on this video, you can see how this would capture a ton of people's attention who it normally wouldn't. It's really blunt. It's really like minimalist and blunt in a way that you... If you miss the metaphor in this, you're the dumbest person. You can't even make it out of this alive.
If you can't understand why people are dancing in the foreground and distracting what's happening in the background...
Yeah, it's over.
Yikes.
Go.
It's over.
Listen to Body Like a Back Road, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. So, Mark, I gotta ask you, are you taking this on your best of the year so far playlist?
I went through a phase because I listened to this when it came out 40 years ago in the 70s. And I initially took it because I was like, this is not my jam, but it feels like a moment right now, right? Like, what is it?
Sure.
Everyone's talking about the song for better or worse. But then I heard it 3 times. I was like, I don't need to do this anymore. I don't want to hear this all the time when I'm putting it on my playlist.
You got it.
So I took it off. What about you?
I think I'm going to keep it off. I never put it on, but I think I'll keep it off for now.
Which is not to say it's bad. It's just such an earworm.
Right. Yeah. And I think, like I said, that I think the video should be in a discussion once we come around to Beatsies at the end of the year. If you want to talk about good videos from the year, we should maybe talk about this one then. But as a song separated from that, I just don't know that it has the same staying power.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, although I can't wait for, like, Time.com's Best Music of the Year list to write the most half-baked thing piece. Or, you know, like, the New York Times, like, their, you know, culture writer is like, have you heard this Childish Gambino? Like, putting out a whole essay on the very obvious metaphors of the song. You're going to read that stuff anyway. It's going to come into your life. So, you know, I look forward to that. That'll be my version of putting this on my list, is forcing myself to read those very dry takes.
Nice. Well, that will do it for this week's 30-second breakdown. Mark, we normally at this part of the show do a quick recap of other albums we've been listening to, but as you mentioned, since it's been so long, it would literally take us 2.5 hours to cover everything else. So, and that's just your lists, I'll say. I haven't even mentioned any of mine yet. So I think if it's okay with you, we should table that discussion for a later episode. And since we are officially into the first week of July here, let's have a more formal discussion on the best singles of the year so far then as well, huh? What do you think?
Yeah. Did you, and like, if we do a catch-up, like, did you listen to the onslaught of Kanye West's albums?
I got through Ye. I have not listened to Kids See Ghosts yet, but I'll try to do that before we talk next time.
Or did you say you didn't listen to Nas either, or what was the first? Oh, you Pusha T.
Yeah, no, didn't hear that one either.
Well, I'm sure we will have a lot to say about Ye, at least. I'm sure we have, like, a bunch of crossover that would make for... So maybe, like, next step will be, like, a bunch of very tiny reviews of stuff that's come out since we last recorded.
Sort of, like, blips on the radar.
Yeah.
Maybe just to segue things out here, do you want to just mention maybe one album you listened to in the past 6 weeks? Something that caught your attention, just to give the people a little bit of something?
Oh, sure. Like, just maybe, like, a quick recommendation or something.
Yeah, just generally, what's the best or worst thing you've heard in the past month and a half?
Best or worst, that's not going to happen. Man,
okay, well, what's the most mediocre thing you've heard in the past 6 months? Middle of the road, couldn't care less about.
Well, what if I... Okay, I actually have the perfect thing, literally.
I actually have one too.
Okay, great.
What is the most vanilla 5 out of 10... We'll see it on the No Emotion Whatsoever award at the Beatsies at the end of the year.
Yes. Okay.
What do you got?
Here's a good one. So, no one wants Korean pop to be recognized and loved in America as much as me. Everyone knows that.
Oh, is that
true? Everyone
knows
that.
Is that a certifiable statement?
Knows it. I'm beloved in the Korean pop community.
You got the something.
What?
You got the something. It's a reference from TVXQ.
Okay. What?
They're a Korean pop band, Mark, the expert on Korean pop. You just stylized
yourself.
Well,
were they on Ellen?
I don't
know.
No, think
they weren't. And you know who was? BTS. BTS was on Ellen. They're okay. Getting.
They're a big
happening.
Deal.
I really wish I had some fun things to say about how pop music is different culturally there versus here and how there's a sort of shared evolution of pop music. But truth be told, this is BTS is a boy band and they're loving it. And the new album, Love Yourself Tear, is.
Oh,
totally,
no.
Like, you know, here's the track Fake Love.
Okay.
You know where the song's gonna go, right? You know it's gonna end up like this. Like, who cares? The whole album is just the most obvious pop move to the next most obvious pop move. There's like a trap. There's trappy production in the whole thing, but there's like one track that's very trappy. It's just you get nothing out of this one unless you just have a hot craving for BTS for some reason. There's no more skippable album I've listened to this year than that.
Does BTS stand for something? Is it an abbreviation?
Big Truckin' Stegosaur.
Cool. That sounds totally mediocre, Mark. Thanks for sharing.
No problem, man. What about you?
All right. I want you to flash back with me here a couple of years ago.
Okay. I'm in it.
And that year was 2020.
It's now 2027.
No, it was actually, you're mistaken, Mark, it was the year 2015. So that was, we're talking like early weekly beats here. We did our best of the year talk about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Our recap. One of the very first episodes that you and I did together, we talked through our top albums and tracks for the year 2015. And we always do attack and defend on our show, right, at the end of the year.
Yes.
Good stuff and bad stuff.
Right.
And if my memory is correct, you attacked me on my inclusion of Tame Impala.
Okay.
Is that correct?
Probably. Okay. It sounds like me.
But you did not attack me in another choice that you also questioned. And that was the inclusion of Every Open Eye by Churches. Is that correct?
Probably.
Okay. I'm here to tell you that Every Open Eye is a good album. But you know what's not a good album? Love is Dead by Churches. This thing is extremely disappointing.
Whoa.
As someone that really enjoyed their sophomore work and, of course, loved their debut, this thing is leaning towards the more negative end to the point where I'm getting furious by some of the content here. I'm going to try to make it quick, but I'm going to break down some ways in which they ruin things. First off, there is maybe one good chorus on this entire album. And when your entire thing is the build up to the chorus, you better deliver. And they completely miss the mark on delivering there. They also got some new producer on this thing to make them sound more in tune with today's pop hits. And I think it's a complete mistake. Here's the single you've probably heard, Get Out. Decent verse.
Man.
You'll find the trend here is one or two word phrases repeated ad nauseum to the chorus, which, I mean, granted, Churches was never super deep as far as lyrical content goes, but they come across as fourth graders on this thing.
Wow, that's harsh.
Here's this one, Deliverance.
Give up,
embarrassing. Awful. They have Matt Berringer from The National on this thing, and he sounds like he's literally in a closet, half asleep. Just get that other guy in this band who sings one chorus every album. The dude is dead. Totally misused. So, also, listen to this chorus. Okay, you got that line?
Yeah.
Here is the very next song, Forever, and listen to the chorus here. Almost word for word, note for note, identical to the previous song's chorus. They put them right after the other.
Oh, man.
Who's not going to pick up on that?
Love is dead for churches.
Here's the next one. This is Never Say Die.
This is so boring.
They consistently have the most uninteresting choruses back to back to back. And I'm just waiting for that moment where I'm like, this is the churches I know and love. All the singles in the lead up to this thing fell flat for me. And man, some of the deep cuts on this thing are embarrassingly bad for this group. They totally drop the ball, man. It's just the worst. Here's Imagine Dragons Light Miracle. Perfect for every car commercial and cell phone commercial you'll see on your television for the next 4 months.
Wow.
But there is one ray of hope on this thing, Mark. There is one song that I will be taking from this album that I think stands with some of the better Church's songs. It's the opener, Graffiti. And I brushed through it the first time because I was like, yeah, it's okay. But then going back, listening to it again, I'm like, you know what? This is the best song on the album, and it stands far above the others. Here's a little bit from that one. Check this chorus out. Well, no, let's start from the beginning, because this beginning is, I think, very reminiscent of their first. Like, that's good stuff, right?
Yeah.
You like that?
Sure.
It's got that Mother We Share kind of, like, synthy riff to open things up.
It sounds like, I'll be honest, it sounds like an album track, though. Like, it sounds like one of the songs in between the singles that you're like, oh, yeah, that one's
sure.
Okay.
But even now, going back and re-listening to The Bones of What You Believe, that thing still rocks the whole way through. I really like that album a whole lot.
Okay.
Let's get to the chorus of this track. I think it's pretty good. And lyrically there, she's got that line, I've waited my whole life to grow old, and now we never will. It's about having a relationship and wanting to get to the good parts and going through some bad parts and now not having the good parts at all. Love is dead.
Okay, sure.
So that song I like, but the rest is really, really upsetting. Churches, man. What a stinker.
You know what that all reminds me of, though?
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I had a Radio Disney, Greatest Hits of Radio Disney collection that featured both
Sweet
Nick Cannon and Aaron Carter.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds like that. Sounds like it would be one of the like other artists that would be on Radio Disney.
Fair enough. All right, Mark. Well, you and I will spend all of next episode catching up on everything else we listen to. We're talking Kanye West, Beach House,
Drake,
Kitsy Ghosts, Drake, of course, Scorpion, the big release from the summer.
Talk about like
got some
an album in which. I was gonna say, talk about an album in which, like, you know, one song is made better by all of the songs surrounding it being not good.
I want to know who represented it here tonight.
Yeah.
We got Florence and the Machine's got an album out. We got Death Grips. We got Beyonce and Jay-Z launched a collaborative album. Probably the Carters. We got
they sure did.
Father John Misty. We got Nico Case. We got Arctic Monkeys. Literally, the list could not be longer. Some of our favorite artists. So we've got little blip-sized pocket reviews of each of those things coming your way next week. And we'll also count down our top 10 favorite singles of the year so far. Make it a whole shebang there. Do you want to do a Billboard pick next week, or do you want to let that speak for itself?
Well, why don't we decide like how it feels in the show? Because maybe like our top 10 takes 3 hours.
You're right. What if I told you that this week's number one Billboard track is "I Like It" by Cardi B?
I would.
The track in which Cardi B tells you what she likes.
I kind of love that. I kind of love that.
No, you like it.
Yeah.
You just like
it. I love it. I don't care.
Okay. Because XXX Tentacion's Sad is number two.
Oh, God. I don't want to talk about it. Let's not do it. Then I change my mind. Okay.
That's what I thought. So maybe we'll do Billboard next week. Maybe we won't. We'll see how it goes. Either way, you can tune in to get our latest thoughts on any of the litany of albums released in the past 6 weeks here. It's the summer episode. It's the midpoint episode of 2018. A lot to talk about. Here's where we start turning up the burners, Mark. We got to stay ahead of this stuff because the end of the year will be here before you know it.
Yeah, I'm excited.
All right.
Also, I have no air conditioning, I had to turn off the fans to record this, and I'm now a human sweat machine!
As we do it in the summer. Nothing else to do. Okay, well, in the meantime, keep yourself busy. Hit us up on social media, keep up with our podcast feed through our Podomatic page, or subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher? Is that right,
yeah,
Mark? We're on Stitcher
now?
We're
on Stitcher, we're on a few apps.
You have
don't
to have
see
a
us,
license but... to do that.
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing.
Or major.
So, exactly. You would think after 100 episodes you could go wherever you want, but that's not the case.
Yeah, we still have yet to be featured in a joke. It's too hot. I can't think anymore. End this show. I can't do it.
Okay. Next week is the midpoint episode, the catch-up episode. We'll see you there. Until next time. Bye! That outro music!
Started, I said that, but later you couldn't comprehend. You called me GOAT, and that's what I wanted to be. My mama told you I'd be.